If you're outside right now, whether you're standing by a garden or on a city street, take a moment to look up. There's a lot more to that sky than all that blue and the few clouds this afternoon. And that's why every once in a while we take a little time to talk with Paul Salazar, or as he calls himself on his blog, the Urban Astronomer. The Urban Astronomer recently joined KLW's Ben Trefney in studio to talk about what's up with the universe.
The most recent new thing was validation for what's called inflation. So inflation represents an infinitesimal moment in time, as Andre Linde, the big scientist who's been credited with much of the discovery, would like to say. It's a millionth of a trillionth of a trillionth of a second after the Big Bang began. In that window of time, there was this expansion of the universe that happened at a rate much greater than our current physics would allow us to say is possible. In that instant of time, right at the beginning, there had to have been expansion of the universe that happened faster than these physical laws would allow. That is, faster than the speed of light.
I don't understand exactly what they discovered here.
If there was inflation, there should have been these telltale signs. And now, many, many years later, they found the signs. So that's great. That's now a validation of a theory that this fellow Andre Linde put out 20 or 30 years ago. And said there could have been this thing called inflation. If it did happen, we would be able to detect these gravity waves. And now, in the South Pole, buried deep in the ice with little sensors, they piece them together and were able to sense with a high degree of certainty that, in fact, these waves do exist.
So what does this mean to you, the fact that they found this proof of inflation?
What that does is it ties together the Big Bang process more elegantly. What's happening is this. You know, if you could switch off the lights on the Earth for a couple of years and forget all the knowledge we ever had, and you start at the top of the Grand Canyon with a flashlight, and you and a few other explorers began to walk down a trail down the side of the Grand Canyon, and every day you shone your flashlight on the side analyzing layers of rock, you would take a long time to realize that what you're looking at, in fact, is you're looking at layers of earth that have been carved away by millions of years of water flowing through. That's what's happening here. You could have posited a theory on the start of your trip down the side of the Grand Canyon that maybe earth was once made up of layers. This was an ocean floor, and now we've carved it away with a river. But it would take you a long time with a flashlight to realize that. But what if, as you began to make your way down the journey, someone came along with the spotlight, and then someone else came along with a really bright light, and then one day the sun came up and you saw it all? That's what's happening here with the Big Bang.
Well, that's Paul Salazar. He runs the blog The Urban Astronomer out of San Francisco. So let's go from cosmology to Cosmos, the new show with Neil deGrasse Tyson that really had a big marketing push. And I'm wondering, I've seen some episodes, and my son, who's 11, he's seen some episodes and really enjoys it. I'm wondering what you think as an amateur astronomer yourself.
Neil deGrasse Tyson is great, and I love what they're trying to do, and I love the cosmic calendar. This compressing all of time into 12 months and, you know, the spaceship of the imagination traveling through all these spaces. It's well done. That's fine. Neil deGrasse Tyson brings a different angle and a different perspective. He's kind of not the originator of these eloquent poetic passages that Carl Sagan put together. But he's a great educator. I met him once. He's a cool guy. I think that he's got a noble purpose that he's following. And again, hats off to anyone and everyone who's participating in the process of bringing out and illuminating these kinds of scientific subjects for the masses. It's all good.
And Tyson has that charisma that can help carry the message.
Correct. He's just all over the place all at once. He finds himself in the TV programs and morning talk shows and on specials. And it's just great to have someone who's got the breadth and the readiness to challenge and the fast wit and sharp and funny, but also very engaging. I think Carl Sagan had a whole different set of attributes that made him engaging for different reasons.
He was a little geekier, wasn't he? Neil deGrasse Tyson, he's sort of like, you know,
he's trying to be more
suave. He's a little bit of,
yeah. He's definitely, you know, dresses better and doesn't, you know, you look back at Carl Sagan, he looks rather 70s stereotypical geeky science guy.
Uh-huh. But it worked.
He delivered on the message, yeah. And at the end of the day, that's what he was about. He was about, again, transforming. I guess at some level, maybe he was the original sort of guy who could look at that subject and make it beautiful and exciting in addition to being true to the pure science behind it.
That's Paul Salazar. He is the urban astronomer in San Francisco. So before you go, we always like to talk about what we can see now in the night sky and what's coming up. So what are you looking forward to?
There's an exciting tetrad of eclipses coming up. That's four lunar eclipses in a row here in April, and then in October, and then April of next year, and October of next year, we're going to have a sequence of four total lunar eclipses that also, rather conveniently for us here in California, will all be visible from the North American continent. So in a good way, we're going to have a nice series of these lunar, and people would probably go after about, I've seen three already. Why do I want to watch the fourth, right? There's going to be so many of these. We're going to kind of get used to it.
There's going to be eclipse fatigue.
Well, there could be that setting in. But, you know, the first ones are coming up, and the first one's always exciting, and that's going to be on April 14th, and it will be visible from California, of course. It'll be starting at about 10 o'clock at night, and it reaches its peak about 11:45 p.m. So it's a kind of a late night event, so stay up late if you can. Enjoy that. Take the kids out if they're able to stay up that long. And you're going to see the moon taking about 90 minutes to transition itself from being a full, bright, typical full moon. And then it gradually slips behind the Earth's shadow out in space, 240,000 miles away. And as it does, it takes on, it doesn't go out fully. It doesn't go dark and black, but it gets very, very dim. And typically it's glowing an orange or reddish color, which is a very beautiful thing. Because from the moon's perspective, when the Earth is blocking the sunlight is still being refracted around the edge of the Earth. And what you're seeing is that accumulated light of all of the sunrises and sunsets happening on Earth simultaneously, then flowing across space and landing on the moon's surface. So what you're getting is a beautiful nonstop coloration of this of the moon from that aggregation of sunrise and sunset colors. It's a really quite a unique thing.
So what I'm wondering then, Paul, what would the Earth look like from the moon at that same moment?
So if you're looking back at the Earth, what'll happen is you'll have what used to be the sun, now covered by the Earth. And so you have a dark mass of Earth and then this rim of beautiful bright color all around the fringe, all around the periphery. That orange and red color would be coming from a 360-degree circle around the Earth. It's a rather unusual concept to think about. It's quite nice to, very vivid to think about that.
Yeah, so would that look like the Earth was on fire?
In a way, yeah, in a way. Yeah, it would be this glowing, curious object. Because again, if you live on the moon, let's hypothesize about that fun concept, and you spend your nights looking at the Earth, from the moon's perspective, is always in the same place in the sky. It's just a quirk of how the moon rotates once around its axis. It goes around the Earth once.
Uh-huh.
And what you do is you watch it over 29 and a half days go from new Earth, if you will, to first quarter Earth, to full Earth, to last quarter Earth, to new Earth again. So you're just constantly watching this beautiful changing, but really gradually changing thing over the course of 29 and a half days. And then what will happen on April 14th is you're going to have that special moment when it reaches that new phase, when normally it would be quite invisible. It'll have that glowing ring around the edge. It'd be quite fascinating.
Well, we could go there with a spaceship of our imagination.
That's the what. Take that with Neil deGrasse Tyson. That's right. We'll journey with him over to stare at the Earth from the moon.